I was doing a lot of research along with my team to address many, many important problems in the world. And I said, there is this problem which is taking away over 500,000 women every year. So we started off as a startup trying to solve an India problem, but we ended up, I think, with a solution that can help the whole world. And that's becoming more and more obvious. Good thing about this is that it is one of the easily curable of all the cancers. You know, breast cancer is completely curable and almost people can live 30, 40 years even after a treatment, which is great. But the problem is late detection.
Hey, my dear listeners, welcome back. This is Inspire Someone Today and with me is yet another inspirer. Joining me today, and today also happens to be World Cancer Day, is somebody who has in the forefront of cancer research and cancer cure. I have the opportunity to host Geeta Manjunath, founder and CEO of a Bangalore-based deep tech startup, Niramai Health Analytics. It's been an absolute pleasure and joy to have Geeta join us on the show today.
Thank you, Srikant, for having me on the show.
First up, I will get started with your life career journey with over 25 plus years of experience in IT research, deep end research. You jumped the bandwagon. You got on into being an entrepreneur, and Bangalore and startup goes hand in hand. How did this all begin?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, I've been a techie corporate entrepreneur, I would say. Was at Hewlett Packard Labs for 17 years and then Xerox Research, where I went on to lead their AI research as a lab director. And, education from IISc and also a little bit from Kellogg, Chicago. So all of this was good. I was having a good career, I would say. In all respects, actually, having fun at work, trying to develop new things, all that. And then suddenly I lost my very close cousin sisters to breast cancer. She was 42 years of age. Her name is Bharti. And she got detected with late stage breast cancer. That is when I saw how cancer can affect a family, both economically, socially, emotionally. And to me, she being very, very close also was a very, very big shock. And as serendipity would have, within 6 months, one of another close family member on my husband's side, she was 38 years of age, and she too got detected with late stage cancer, and it recurred, and she also could not live more than a year. So both of these incidences made me really, really sad, of course, and wanting to try and see how I can help change the situation. And I was doing a lot of research along with my team to address many, many important problems in the world. And I said, there is this problem which is taking away over 500,000 women every year. And what can we do about it? We are not doing anything about it, is what I felt, right? And then that's when I started a small research group in my team, exploratory research, and spending my nights and weekends on it. And after about 6 months or so, I decided to do this full time and quit my job to start Niramai. It's been 6 years now, and it's been really, really, I guess, challenging but enjoyable journey so far. Learning every day, adapting and adjusting to different circumstances, trying to solve one problem at a time, learning new skills as and when needed. Being amongst the knowledgeable people who can mentor me when I don't know some things, and then getting the lovely support of the family members. And most importantly, having a very strong team who's willing to stretch and run with me to achieve the goals and be on the mission of saving lives. Yeah, it's been an excellent experience so far. At a personal level, it's almost like a spiritual enlightenment. You know, you need to drop your ego, be humble, unlearn, learn from others, learn from every member around you, literally. And I'm always very pleasantly surprised and astonished at the kind of, you know, serendipity. Like, you know, if you want to solve a problem, the world around you kind of, you know, tries to help you is what I feel a lot. And especially if you're positive about the whole thing, right? And so it's been excellent getting the support of the ecosystem, mentors, investors, well-wisher, and people and friends like you who are also trying to take our story to the masses and then creating the awareness about the work that we're doing.
So lovely.
Thank you.
So many wonderful strands out there. I'll definitely pick on a couple of those things. So people do say that find your purpose, only then you can find your passion. And purpose doesn't kind of grow somewhere, it just happens. And in your case, Bharti was a trigger for that purpose to kind of come your way. How has life been for Geeta, the CEO? You never planned for it. Now you are one and you are a globe-trotting CEO now. So how has life changed? What does a day in the life of Geeta looks like?
Wow. First and foremost, there's no day, there's no light. So it's like very, very long day, which goes on maybe over 20 hours a day. And that's what is the day, first of all. And yeah, I mean, it is pretty hectic, pretty busy with the continuous meetings, mentoring the team in different aspects. Because as a founder, what happens, for some reason, it's like only you have all the answers, literally, for all the questions of the team. And of course, we have wonderful leadership team members, but then there are always these, you know, it could be clinical in nature, it could be business question, it could be technical question, it could be finance question, it could be investor question. For everything, it comes to you. So it's been like very, very busy. Yes, you know, after COVID, particularly because there's a lot of catching up to do. So the good part is we started off as a startup trying to solve an India problem, but we ended up, I think, with a solution that can help the whole world. And that's becoming more and more obvious. And so we got regulatory clearances for Europe, US, and so on. So there's a lot of, you know, running around that needs to be done. There are events where founder is supposed to be sort of talking and interacting, pitching. So yes, it's been a very busy life, I would say, enjoying every minute of it. I'm very thankful again for my family for just bearing with me.
Does it distract you, irritate you that you started off this very noble cause of wanting to bring this solution to the world? Now, here you are in your role as a CEO, CTO, wanting to do a lot many other stuff. Like you mentioned, talking to the investors, pitching it to regulators, talking about it. Does it at some point channelize you saying that, okay, this is for the larger purpose and enjoying doing this? Or you feel bad saying that, look, I started off with this noble intent, but I am distracted with so many other stuff around me. How do you kind of balance that out?
No. It is not a distraction at all. It is all part of the overall solution, I would say, right? See, if, for example, I were to take a new test that is given to me, first thing I'll ask is, has anybody validated that this is actually working? Has anybody given go ahead to actually try it on me? So these are the questions I would have asked myself if I was a consumer. So I don't think any of this is a distraction. It's part of the job. It's part of building a solution, building a novel solution, particularly building a solution for a critical disease like cancer. For all of these parts of the building blocks of making the device itself. And the good part is I was not proficient in any of these so far, but now having done a couple of devices, there's a lot of learning. And we know that this is definitely one step towards reaching the goal of saving lives and saving lives around the world as well. And the kind of reception we get or going to any country or the kind of response we get, you know, it's actually much more fulfilling and encouraging for us to move forward as well. Because there are very, very few Indian companies who have been able to create a solution that can help the world made in India. You know, I'm a nationalist, Mera Bharat Mahan and all. So I feel very proud to represent India whenever I go globetrotting. I just become more stronger because I know India is behind me.
You have that badge of honor around you.
Yeah.
And Geeta, what is the difference that you have seen from being that principal research scientist to being an entrepreneur? How are these two worlds shaped or transforming you?
Yeah, so as a research scientist, especially an applied research scientist in a multinational, we think much beyond just a technical solution. Obviously, the starting point is worth solving this particular problem that you're trying to solve. That question needs to be answered if you're in a industrial or applied research or a corporate world research. Having said that, looking at a problem as something that requires a technical solution versus looking at a problem that requires, as you mentioned, you know, a solution which addresses all facets of the problem, they are completely, you know, very, very different. The technical part of the solution, that is, let's say, given a thermal image, generating a report which says whether there's an abnormality or not, which is the technical solution of what we are developing, that is only a part of the solution, literally. If you look at the overall bigger purpose of trying to make somebody use this test, right? And there's this other problems that we need to solve as an entrepreneur, that is, who's going to pay for this? Does it really work? How is it better than the existing systems in the overall ecosystem itself? Not just accuracy. Yes. How is it actually more accurate? Is it at least comparable? Is it comparable on what we call as unseen patients, not in your data set and trying to say, yes, it works? No. When somebody comes in, are we able to actually provide this test confidently to the lady and confidently tell her it's okay to take this test instead of other tests that people have used for last 30 years, right? So all of this requires a whole bunch of additional problems, I would say, that we need to solve. And also when you go to a doctor, I have never read about this before in my books. And why should I use it? You know, why should I provide this in a hospital? Then starting from there to having a doctor saying, yes, you should be open and you should try this out. You know, this is very, very transformational kind of problem statement that, you know, we need to address. Part of it is technical. Definitely a lot of it is also scientific, I feel. So that is one new approach we've taken at Niramai, to look at every problem as scientific problem that can be solved. That is, when we put up a fact, make sure that there is a scientific evidence why we say that fact. When we say we have not missed any cancer that has been detected by mammo or ultrasound, we have tons of clinical studies published in top journals saying this. And when that happens, doctors tend to believe much more than a marketing statement saying, yeah, we are the best in class or whatever, right? So it's really have to be backed up by scientific facts and proofs. And that is what we've been able to do, maybe because of my kind of science and research background. And that has instilled the trust in the doctors and trust in the ladies using the solution as well. So yes, it is very different being a principal scientist, as you mentioned, and an entrepreneur. There's also, of course, when you are a scientist in a corporate world, salary just comes and drops in your bank account at the end of the month. And you're, yeah, I mean, as long as the bank account is fat enough, there's no issue. As it starts thinning down, you need to be worried about how am I going to pay the salary of my employees, like say 1 year down the line, 10 months down the line. And this kind of a runway check is also something that we need to be worried about. And also saying the right things about the company, which matter to the investment, trying to understand the investor's thought process and what's success for the investors and how can we align our success to that? Because it's not an afterthought that you go and find money, right? You know, because and finding money to run the company is also part of the bigger problem we talked about, right? So there should be an alignment. You know, ideally, if you let me, I will just do everything free. But that's not sustainable at all. I'll run out of all the money and the company cannot move forward. So to be able to charge the right kind of pricing from the end users or customers or partners is part of the provisioning of the sustainable solution to this, right? So all of this, when you think about it, then you don't have any negative or distraction or any kind of that thought when you're trying to generate revenue or if the investors ask, what's your revenue? So these are all important questions that need to be answered to be on the ground and to be on the ground for a longer period of time. So yeah, it's very different, of course.
Also goes to show that if the purpose is bigger and meaningful, everything else doesn't really matter. The ultimate purpose is what matters, so very evident in what you are saying. And 6 years back, when you started off this, it was a very small canvas of what you wanted to do. And as I hear and as I've read a lot about Niramai, the canvas is only getting bigger and bigger. With that as a backdrop,
what
do you see as are the challenges of scaling a startup?
Yeah. So it's all about how big you want to scale, right? You know, because the world is a canvas, as you mentioned. So if we are happy with 100 centers, 200 centers using it, then I can always trim down the team to make it just operationally efficient and then continue to sort of, you know, get into a profitable mode. But when you want to expand beyond 100 centers throughout India in all cities, if possible, and my aim is to make this test available to everyone in India within 100 kilometers, which means India is vast. And of course, if possible, world as well, right? And so how do we go and reach out to these? And in a healthcare scenario, the key problem is, be it a hospital, be it a diagnostic center, be it the end users, they're more and more comfortable with people they have worked with before, people where they already have built in a trust, right? I would rather go to, let's say, Apollo or HCG of the world rather than one XYZ diagnostic center I've never heard, just as a consumer. So it's just the trust with somebody you know is very much part of the ecosystem of healthcare delivery. So what we decided to do was to work with the healthcare providers, existing healthcare providers, to actually reach the end users as a B2B2C, you know, track. And here we work with diagnostic chains so that, you know, if we once convince one management executive or the head of, let's say, Apollo diagnostic chain for MD or somebody like that, then we prove it in one or two centers and then we can expand it pan-India along with their own network that's already existing. So things like that, right? You know, working with diagnostic chains, working with people who already have the network has been one mantra for scaling that we have adopted within India. For every country, this story may be different. So for example, in the US, it's a very payer-based insurance-led healthcare system. So there it's very important to have or insurance support for our test. We have a longer way to go there to get a reimbursement code, which is a very, very novel test. You know, we need to pitch for a new code and then get the insurance to agree to put it. And here, the story that we need to say is not we will save lives, we will do the early detection. That is not sufficient, by the way. What we need to say is, how does the insurance vendor save money by saving lives? You know, it's really everything about the economics of the solution. And at the end of the day, the stakeholder is seeing the economic benefit of providing this test, then things will align. So this is what's in it for me question we need to answer for every stakeholder. And that is, and if that question is answered in a way that it is a pain point that is being solved, not just for the end user, unfortunately, that's a big, big revelation. It's not sufficient enough to actually detect early cancer to my dear friends around. It's really sufficient, required rather, that whoever is providing the solution along the way would be the hospital, diagnostic center, dealers, insurance vendor. All of them should see a benefit in their business. You know, this kind of economic story, economic pathways that we need to identify for each of them becomes very, very important to scale. And yeah, we are on that direction. Sometimes you need to take advice from professional bodies for this, and that requires money as well. So yeah, it's going on. I'm learning again every time.
On the same lines, Geeta, a lot of the listeners are also want to be entrepreneurs, or some of them are in the startup community. If they were to take some learning, some experiences from yours, what would be something that they need to watch out for as they scale up their own businesses? What are the challenges that they need to look out for?
Yeah, so first and foremost, go to market, right? You know, what is the channel that will give you to the largest number of people or users or your technology? So many times we feel, oh, I can go to a hospital and start selling. But now there is a second level of go to market. How do I reach to large number of hospitals? So we need to sort of answer this question of what is that channel which reaches a large number of people for your particular solution. It can also have trial and error here. You may want to try different business models, different channels, and then identify one of them, because it's usually a novel problem, a novel solution that the startup is solving. So it's not in the books, not in, you can't Google to find the answer, unfortunately. So that's why experimentation, failing fast, as we're saying, failing easily and failing fast is very important. Trying out small experiments to figure out what is the best way to move forward. I think it's very, very important to identify the go-to-market. The second is when we talk about the product market fit, you know, what is that problem which is being solved by your product, right? You know, asking this question, sometimes you feel, yes, it's early detection, but you want to ask this question of so what, right? You know, like who is going to benefit? And again, finally, of course, who is going to pay aspect of it? So getting these questions to be answered in a very clear manner and getting the answers validated by a typical customer is very, very important. I would say first and foremost among all of these is to think big. You know, why can't everyone in this world use my solution? And then ask this question. So that way you will actually be answering the question for scale, right? We should also be cognizant about our lack of knowledge about how things work in other countries, for example. We tend to assume that everything is like India. No, I mean, of course, if you've traveled before, you'll know things are different, but that is not sufficient. A healthcare system of a country is very difficult to understand from outside, you know. So you need to talk to many people, interview people who have been in that, could be friends, could be doctors, if it's healthcare. So you need to have a lot of this sort of open-mindedness to learn from others. Do not assume that things are the same. So that's another big thing that we need to take into consideration when we are building something for scale.
Think big, fail fast is what I am taking away from that particular section. We have been talking with Geeta Manjunath, the founder and CEO of Niramai. First of the power of three round comes to you here, Geeta. Three advice that has helped you to shape your career.
I think the top one is the advice from the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, a line from many of the people who talk about it. Do the best you can for the task in front of you and don't worry of the result, or be assured that your result will be the most optimum one. That's my first one. Just focus on the task because you don't have control on the result anyway apart from your own current stuff. Second is, many times we get bothered about what others will say, will I do this and all that. Follow your passion. Don't worry about what that others say. Anyway, things will change, people will change, their thoughts will change. So all you need to worry about is, am I doing the right thing as per my knowledge? And that's about it. You know, change is constant. So don't worry about what others say. Third one, I think it's difficult to actually make very hard decisions. You know, when the need comes, you need to make the decision. No point in lingering around. It could be, let's say, sending a team member out of your, you know, company, or just saying, I'm not going to work on this product, because there's so much attachment we build to it. Startup, just go for the goal of the startup. That is where my commitment is, not to individual people or individual features or individual small things, you know. So that is what, you know, it's hard. It's very hard. I'm trying to do that without passion. Yeah. So that's because if you just linger around and not take that decision, you're just wasting time and in fact, probably will make the situation worse. So I think these three things have been really good advice I've received, and people can relate to their own context.
Nice one to start with. If there's no limitation, who are the three individuals you would like to invite for lunch or dinner?
Narendra Modi ji. I'm a big fan of how he changed India and he's changing it. No limitations. So I think I can bring back President Abdul Kalam, sir. I'm a big fan. And third, I would wanted to say my father, but I will say Mother Teresa, you know, inspires me a lot on the social.
Wonderful. Serendipity did take you to meet up with Mr. Sundar Pichai. We will talk about it in a while. But I thought he would be one of the members on your list as well.
Yeah, maybe because I've already met him.
Three routines that is unique to Geeta.
Disciple or whatever of Sri Sri Ravi Shankar Guruji. So I follow the art of living technique. So I do yoga and pranayam for at least 20 minutes, Sudarshan Kriya, every day. That has definitely made my head lighter of the stress. The second one is I'm a late night person. I sleep at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., trying to answer all my mails for the day. I guess the third one, definitely it's unique, I think, for me. Most of the day, I have breakfast in my car. So because I don't get time to eat, I cook it and then take it, pack it. And then on my way to the office is when I have my breakfast. And most of it is like lunch also when I'm moving from one meeting to another. It's like car food.
Three recommendations that you would have for all budding entrepreneurs.
So I would say, first and foremost, don't fear, right? You know, because we will think, what if I take this decision? Will it really work and so on? So don't fear. It's okay. Anyway, only 10% of the startups succeed. So we are trying our best, right? So that is one. Second thing is, you know, don't think that you need to know everything, right? You know, be open to learn from others, especially female, you know, tend to put themselves down because they don't know some part of it. It is okay. You can ask for advice and get that knowledge. Nobody knows everything. And as an entrepreneur, you need to know everything. So that means there will be some part which you will not know, which is fine. And you can learn. It's important, you know, to be open to learn. Third one is actually definitely in the same way, you need to be open to feedback. Take feedback as it comes. You'll have a lot of free advice coming in as well. Listen to it. But finally, you make the decision. You don't have to listen to every advice.
What was a funny free advice that you got, Geeta?
No, many times, I won't say funny as such, but many times they say, okay, don't even work on low-cost devices because, you know, higher the cost, you know, you'll have hospitals, you know, willing to buy and so on and so forth. I don't think that's true. Like, everything has its place and we should just go for it. Like, it's just be very technical problems and devices like this. You know? So, yeah, it's okay.
Great. We have been having this wonderful conversation with Geeta Manjunath from Niramai. And the reason for having Geeta on this conversation is something that she is doing extraordinary in the field of breast cancer. So that's the elephant in the room in today's conversation, Geeta. If you can talk about this silent epidemic, what is it? How is it impacting the world in India? And what is your organization all about?
Oh, definitely. Thanks for asking that question, enabling me to share. Breast cancer is actually one of the largest cancer killers in women. Over 680,000 women die every year because of this disease. It's a huge problem where more than 2.2 million women get infected or affected by breast cancer, which is huge. It's actually 1 in 12 globally, but in many countries, 1 in 7 women getting some kind of an abnormality in their lifetime. It's huge. Now, the main good thing about this is that it is one of the easily curable of all the cancers. You know, breast cancer is completely curable and almost people can live 30, 40 years even after a treat, which is great. But the problem is late detection. Most women detect cancer late, stage 3, stage 4. When there is a symptom, people think that I have to wait for a lump or only when there is a lump, I need to go to a hospital and so on. No. You should not wait for any lump or any symptom to appear. Every year, getting a screening done is absolutely critical to detect in stage 0, stage 1, because that is when the treatment will be less costly, very, very effective, and less invasive as well. It could be sometimes an outpatient procedure, like within a day you can go back. All you need to do is early detection. You know, a problem that existed and if you look at the current methods of screening, Shrikant, mammography is the default standard. It is good. It is good in detecting small lesions. However, it does not work on all women. It does not work on women with dense breast, who are mostly all women under 45 years of age and about half of women above 45. So it's a considerable segment of the women community where mammography does not work because it is based on X-rays and it uses density differences to figure out if there is cancer or not. So we wanted to sort of look at other modalities for screening. So now we have looked at thermal imaging, where we just measure the temperature variations on the chest and use our own developmental algorithms, which analyze this temperature distribution to say whether there is an abnormality or not. What is the probability that an abnormality is actually cancer and where is it, so that a follow-up diagnostic workup can be done. All this is done completely automatically using our software. And that is the innovation called Thermalytics that Niramai has developed. The good part is when you actually take this test, nobody sees or touches the person. You know, it's completely privacy aware. There's a small booth where the lady enters. She sits in front of the thermal camera for about 10 minutes and she comes out, her report will be ready. It is actually an instant reporting system. But yes, you know, when we actually give a detailed report, it goes to a doctor before actually sent to the patient. So it is also very, very affordable. It is portable. You can take it to a rural area, do the screening anytime, as we say it, anytime, anywhere. You can set it up, set up the small booth-like structure and conduct the screening. Simple health workers can do the screening as well. So the cost of operations is also not much. It's a very novel technique, which has resulted in 30 granted patents. Made in India product, now regulatory approved in India and several other Asian countries, including Philippines, Nepal, UAE as well, and also European countries. It's got a CE mark for the software as well. And recently we got approval in US FDA as well for one of our devices. So it's a test which can detect cancer very, very early without touching the person or seeing the person. And so we are enabling many, many women to have a safe and simple health check, you know, in a preventative manner.
That's a fantastic revolution in the age, leveraging science, leveraging technology, and make it lot more considerate for all the women out there. What has been the early results of this? So this has been in service for the last 6 years. What have you seen? What changes have you kind of brought into the journey?
Right. So initially, I remember the very first test we did, within the lab, we had about 72% accuracy. And it's not sufficient, right? You know, with the 72% accuracy or sensitivity, you cannot go to the market. So first and foremost, we had to actually get the accuracy, you know, improved, the sensitivity improved. And I'm very glad to share that, you know, latest, the last 2 years, we've done several systematic clinical studies and we have actually not missed any cancer found by either a mammogram or an ultrasound, which is 100% sensitivity with a few false positives. Yes, because nobody can be 100% false negative and false positive, not even a doctor. So yes, a few people who are found to be high risk in our test may have no cancer, which is great. But the idea is to identify all abnormalities so that a follow-up diagnostic workup can figure out the final diagnosis and with biopsy and so on as a final before treatment and so on, right? So that is the accuracy improvement that we have seen. Initially, we were actually doing the test and the lady had to kind of, you know, disrobe and so on. So once we wanted to do it in like a small group of friends, and I said, I don't want to see her without clothes. And she didn't want to, you know, me without her clothes. So basically, we put in a curtain in between and just have a longer wire between the thermal sensor and the laptop. And bingo, it became a privacy-aware solution. So now we make that a feature, a very, very important feature, which has come about while we were trying it out on people whom we know, right? And so now we have a proper booth where we actually have a longer wire made for this purpose. And so, of course, we have now also moved to wireless and now have a no-see, no-touch solution, which is also a product enhancement. And also several things have changed in the way this test has been used on the ground. Initially, you know, we were doing the test ourselves to the ladies to understand how it worked, what the feedback from the ladies are. But when we started giving the test and training other technicians to do it, they were making a lot of mistakes. So, and we were going and then correcting, we were not able to give instant reporting because of that. So now we put in a lot of new novel algorithms inside the software, which checks before even the technician takes the image or immediately as soon as they upload. So whether the person is, the lady and the tester is sitting at the right location from the device, how far she needs to sit, you know, whether she has to turn left, right. All of this is automatically determined and the technician is guided with that. So many, many things like this have changed a lot. And I think every day, you know, we find new ways of improvising.
So this seems to be technology coming in the way of reducing the cost of cancer detection, cancer cure, and B is more than reducing the cost of cure. It's also about creating that awareness and tools available for people to be aware, people to take precautionary measures. While we do that, the awareness on this subject seems to be still too low, right? Not many are aware of the fact that, okay, there are these avenues available for people to test it out, for people to feel safe. For everybody listening to this conversation, what would be your message to create awareness, to raise the awareness, just not amongst themselves, but amongst their families and the community?
Yeah, absolutely. I think more and more people should fear less and less about cancer and try to learn more and more, I would say. So just today in World Cancer Day, we have this seminar called Know It to Fight It. You know, you need to know more about it to actually be able to fight it, right? So that's the theme that we follow. We conduct regular webinars. And so I would think that, you know, most people think cancer will not come to me. But hey, 1 in 8, 1 in 7 may actually have it. It may not come to you. Maybe it may come to your close family member or a dear friend, you know. So you need to know it to fight it. So being open to learn about cancer is first and foremost important, right? Secondly, understanding the risks of cancer, having healthy habits, exercising at least 20 minutes a day and so on will be very, very important. Having these healthy habits is very important. And also to spread awareness, what I generally say is, once you learn something about cancer or any health facet, just spread it to 5 more people. You know, just have that as, I want to tell 5 more people about it. We have so many faltu WhatsApp messages moving around. And if, of course, it's an authentic health advice, please share it. And that will actually be like a wildfire.
That's a very simple trick there. Just share it amongst 5 people. Share this episode amongst 5 people. Spread the word. Let's kind of create awareness of cancer. Geeta, we are celebrating this month on Inspire Someone Today by bringing in 4 different women influencers like yourself. You're one amongst the 4 influencers we are bringing in. As part of this celebration, as being at the forefront of the healthcare industry, doing something which is also solving a big problem for the society, what are the taboos that you had to break along the way being an woman entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it is harder being a techie, women entrepreneur, and a combination is much harder.
Maybe right? An algorithm to
so
kind of fix
when
it?
Because yeah, I guess so. So it's definitely more difficult. I think one thing I always tell, you know, my friends is forget the gender. Forget the gender. Let's say you yourself are a woman. Forget that you are a lady. Just do it like you would do it. Just focusing on the task. Then it's much, much more simple to give your 100% on the task. To start thinking, I'm a lady, will I do it? Will I be able to do it? And all, like, you'll only be, like you said, distracted. Unnecessary matters. Because what matters is your human being and you're trying to do your best to this, right? So that is one. And also, it's kind of difficult to work in a skeptical environment. You're trying to do something. Oh, will she do it? She's a lady. You know, things like that. You know, there is a lot of skeptics around. And again, my mantra is don't worry about what others say. Just do it because you know you're doing the right. This has to be the way people can move forward. And more women entrepreneurs come on board. More and more women techies come on board. It's going to be much simpler because let's say it's a conference and it's a networking kind of an event and I go there. And there's lots of, male colleagues and friends and it's much easier to go and say hi to another person of the same gender than coming and saying hi to another. So typically, you know, I was never an outgoing person, very, very shy person. I remember even in my BE days, I used to hesitate to talk to my male classmate. You know, it's as bad as that. But yeah, I mean, now I definitely forget the gender. I myself go and say hello to people who are a group of men, say, hello, can I introduce myself? It's very hard, imagine, right? But we need to do it because there's no other way. They're not going to come and talk to, like, it's not easy for a male entrepreneur to come in and just say hi to a person. Very few people do that for the other gender. So I think we need to break our own boundaries, our own barriers that we have in our mind and then move forward. And the good part is anyway, world thinks women can't do much. There's no expectation. So whatever you do is good enough, right? You know, so go with that and then you will feel more confident about it. But the fact remains that in order to be equal, you need to double your output. That has been the main thing, you know, throughout my career. And after you achieve a few things, you know, like be it in Hewlett-Packard or Xerox, then people start dissing and then giving weightage to what you're saying.
Absolutely. And I'm sure and very, very positive that in the coming years, we'll stop referencing to women entrepreneurs, women engineers, and we just be gender neutral. They are entrepreneurs, be it man or woman. They are engineers, be it man or woman. That's the world we would want to build. I am sure we'll get there very soon.
Yeah, we don't count how many women are there on the train, nah? Why? You never talk about how many females travel in a train.
So very true.
That's how it should be, right? You know, everywhere.
And what adjustments have you made to be the person that you are today? So that a lot of the folks can say that, okay, I had a successful professional career. I made a decision to pursue my passion. It can be entrepreneurial, can be something else. And in this switch, I had to make these couple of changes that helped me. And what were those changes for you, Geeta?
Well, I have made the changes, I made the adjustments, but it may not be the same for everyone. You know, different people have different goals in life, right? You know, my case, you know, money is important. I've always been like, money is not everything. Like, you know, thanks to my father, you know, basically, and my parents, both mother and father, we've never sort of considered money as the main thing in life. You know, I think that was very, very important. Of course, it's important to have a good living, but it's not the important part. With that mentality, it was easy for me to quit a well-paying job and sort of start looking for investors, you know, who can fund. So I learned a lot, you know, when I actually sort of came out and used to go to a hospital, I really saw how a company brand behind you makes you big. And when you're out on the street or like an entrepreneur, it's just you. You and your own brand is your name and you yourself, right? You know, so that was a shocking thing for me. Like, you know, of course I knew, but when you actually experience that, now I'm back. But I remember, you know, I used to have a driver, you know, chauffeur-driven car. And so I still have my own car, but I had stopped driving. So I used to start taking auto and Ola and all of that. So now, thankfully, we have call drivers. So whenever I need, I do pick up and I started driving again, unfortunately, because I can use my time behind, right? So that is what is more precious for me. That sort of change. And I think even at home, you know, I used to really feel very guilty if my husband comes into the kitchen for anything, right? You know, I mean, like a traditional wife kind of a thing. But now, thanks to him, he's been very open and we kind of, it's almost like joint cooking and I keep jumping around from one country to another. Sometimes he's just cooking for himself fully. And so not feeling guilty about it is a big, big change for me. Not being available for some of the most important social functions. You know, these things are I'm trying to learn. Because it's all about, like somebody wrote, right? You write a line and you write another longer line and you know, like which is more important. So when you say, okay, I'm trying to do this to sort of help so many women in this world, all of these other things become such small issues when you say, okay, fine, it's fine not to do it. You know, I think that's been a major, major change in my life and my thinking.
Fantastic. Well, all good things need to come to a close. So does our conversation. I didn't realize how time went by, but it was fantastic to hear you from the heart to share some of those challenges of running your startup, more importantly, what you're trying to do for the world out there. Geeta, wishing you and team Niramai the best of everything as you set out and take the solution to the world, make the world a better place to live. Before we sign off, this show is all about creating ripples of inspiration. What is Geeta's Inspire Someone Today message to all the listeners out there?
Thank you very much for this, Srikant. So Inspire Someone Today, I would say, if you feel very strongly about a problem, don't worry about how you will solve it. If you're willing to put in your complete passion and life towards this, just jump, go for it. Things will unravel, people will help you, and you can reach it. Don't be worried about jumping off. Take the plunge and you will succeed if your intent is strong and complete.
Take the plunge and you will succeed. That's the mantra from Geeta Manjunath, CEO of Niramai. On that note, signing off from today's episode of Inspire Someone Today. Thank you for listening. Making it stick. Your actionable insights from today's conversation. Take it, implement it, and see the difference.
Wasn't it great hearing Geeta share her journey with us? Her outlook on solving problems, scientifically scaling up, and experimentation is fascinating. I held on to the part where she said, failing fast and easily is important when she experiments. So let's talk about failures today. They say that nothing breeds success like failure. And indeed, most of us accept that failure is a reality of life, and essential for growth even. But still we hate to fail. It is said that the fear of failure is directly linked to our sense of self-worth. To fail to perform essentially means that we are not able and therefore not worthy. Current research also suggests that we can approach failure with different mindsets, specifically a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. A fixed mindset holds the belief that even though we have certain skills and talents, and that no matter how much effort we apply, we can't change that potential. Growth mindset holds the belief that we all have tremendous potential for growth and evolution. We have to try enough to move things forward. And failure is just a pit stop where you refuel and redirect your approach. unless you learn to respond to failures in adaptive ways, they will paralyze, demotivate, and limit your likelihood of success going forward. The most successful people reframe failure and don't play into a fear-based fixed mindset, and they work to nurture a growth mindset. But it will take time to build this muscle. You can start by trying this out yourself. You can begin by thinking about a current situation in which you believe you have failed, and then work through some of these steps. First, acknowledge a failure, no matter its size. Naming something a failure and bringing a measure of objectivity takes a certain amount of grit and courage. And that's exactly what gets built each time you name it. Over time, you become more comfortable naming it without spiraling into shame. Second is, look past failures without trying to lay blame on anyone, including yourself. The second strategy is to sidestep the blame game, which is only likely to send you into a tailspin of anger and regret. While you shouldn't be defensive, you also shouldn't blame yourself. Remember, you are not a failure. If you tell yourself that you are a failure, you are unlikely to engage the emotional distance necessary to objectively reflect on what happened and what you can learn from it. Third bit is to reframe the failure. That is, make the choice to learn from failure. Really look at what happened and your part in it. Ask yourself some questions like, how might you reframe this failure in light of a growth mindset? Is the fixed mindset helpful in moving you towards your goals? What is possible if you were to focus on how this failure has helped you? And last, repeat this whole exercise. Use this exercise whenever you need to process a failure or a setback. You're building a muscle. The more you do it, the easier you encounter your failures with ease. Remember, if you can work through a failure and find your way to the other side, you will be so much better for it.
Thank you for listening into today's edition of Inspire Someone Today. It's been a privilege to bring in these conversations. If you like this episode and have any feedback or comments, do mail me at inspiresomeonetodaypodcast@gmail.com. Inspiring someone is like creating ripples around us. If you like what to listen, feel free to share them and let's create ripples of inspiration. Do not forget to follow me on my Instagram handle @inspiresomeonetodaypodcast for all the latest updates. This is Srikanth, your host, signing off, and until next time, keep inspiring.